I wanted to say that I'd like to dedicate this year to the American soldiers and special forces who were killed in Afghanistan in a helicopter crash. 30 special forces were killed. You know, it's so painful in my heart. You know, when I opened the news after Shabbos, I spent an hour still learning after Shabbos. I came home and just checked the internet before I fell asleep. And you know, our heart sinks within us. It's the same unit that actually killed Osama bin Laden. It's SEAL Team 6. So the actual SEAL Team 6 is a rather large unit. None of the actual soldiers who participated, but it's mamish the same unit. And these are heroes. These are our national heroes. What they do, the risk that they incur to their lives, and what their the sacrifice that their families have to bear is really just unbelievable, both in life, in terms of being away from loved ones, and the risks that they take, and also in death. And there are a lot of families in this great country this morning whose lives will never be the same. And we'd just be remiss to continue as if, you know, nothing happened, because even though this, you know, doesn't directly affect people that most of us know, you know, that's not what the Jewish ideal of sharing a burden is and pulling together. And that we can all admire and appreciate and be humbled by these soldiers and their sacrifice. And Hashem should provide a measure of nechama to the families. All of their sacrifices on behalf of Tzelem Elohim and the values of Torah, really, should never be forgotten. So I just wanted to dedicate this year to them and say that it's really with a heavy heart, very heavy heart, that I give this year this morning. You know, they're certainly on our minds. 30 soldiers were killed. Yeah. Okay. A difficult thing to continue. Okay, so I want to touch on, there are two mitzvahs in Parshas Devarim. Take a look at page 940 here in the Chumash. And then we're going to switch over to the source sheet, but I want to begin with the Chumash. This is Moshe Rabbeinu recounting the appointment of judges over the Jewish people. 940 Perek Aleph, Pasuk Tes. Says Moshe Rabbeinu, "Va'omar alichem ba'esa hilemor," and I said to you at that time, "Lo uchal levadi se'eseschem," I cannot carry you alone. Even for somebody with unique attributes of Moshe Rabbeinu, with unique qualifications of Moshe Rabbeinu, it's too much. Adonai alichem hirba eschem. God has made you numerous. V'hinchem hayom. And you stand here today, kechokve hashamayim larov. The vision, Moshe Rabbeinu alluding to the vision that God, of course, gave to Avraham Avinu. Hashem told Avraham Avinu that v'ayazar acha ka'afar ha'aretz, kechokve hashamayim. Moshe Rabbeinu says that day has come. Millions upon millions of Jews were camped in front of Moshe Rabbeinu in the desert. And you can't do it alone anymore. Adonai Elohei Avoseichem, the God of your fathers, and it's not an accident that Moshe Rabbeinu here refers to the Avos, because this is in fact the image that he's evoking. The promise which was made to the Avos is coming true. Yosef Aleichem Kachem Elef Kamim. Ken Yerbu, says Moshe, 1,000 times over. This isn't the upper limit. Maybe we've reached Kechokhve Hashemayim Lerov, but more. Yosef Aleichem Kachem Elef Kamim. Vivarech eschem, he should bless you, kasher diber lachem, in accordance with that which he spoke to you. And then, and of course we know we go here into the Eichatrap, Eicho esal levadi, tarchachem, umasachem, v'rivchem. Moshe Rabbeinu strikes a completely different chord altogether. Now, Moshe is presenting the need for other shoftim, not as a numerical or quantitative issue, but as an issue of the inherent difficulty of dealing with the Jewish people, Tarchachem, Umasem, Chamasachem, Yerivchem, you know, Chazal, which is quoted by Rashi here, you know, basically say how skeptical the Jewish people were of Moshe Rabbeinu, that if Moshe Rabbeinu got an early start to the day, they would say, ah, you see, you know, Moshe can't wait to get out of his house, you wonder what's going on there. If Moshe got a late start to the day, they would say, ah, Moshe is plotting against us. Basically, the people were, to say the least, not generous with Moshe. Moshe can't take it anymore. Havulachem, anashim chachamim unevonim v'yiduim l'shivtechem. People who are both wise and discerning, yiduim l'shivtechem, darshan chazal, people who are integrated, related people, not just intelligent people, but people who have a chush for dealing with human beings. Va'asimim b'roshechem. And I will place them in charge of you. Vatanu oti, and you answered me, says Moshe, Vatomru, tov hadavar asher dibarta lasot. How wonderful. The Chazal have an ironic drasha here. They say that Moshe was expecting that the people would object. They'd say, no, Moshe, ein kamocha, ve'ish Moshe, you're unique. Lochein avdi Moshe b'chol beisi nemanhu. We want Moshe, we don't want any other judges. What did people say? Givaldik. Tov hadavar asher dibarta lasot. Darshan Chazal, Moshe was essentially uncorruptible, his integrity was beyond reproach, and the people thought, okay, great, now the floodgates are opened, I'll install my buddy as a judge, and now we'll do some business. Now we'll be cooking. Couldn't do that with Moshe. So the people said, Tova Devar Asher Dibar Talasas. Chazal have a critical reading of this passage. Fine. Vaikachas Roshe Shiptechem, Anashim Chachamim V'yiduim, Vatenotam Rashim Aleichem, Sare Alafim, Visare Meos, Sare Chamishim, Visare Asaros, Vishotrim Lashivtechem. I appointed the higher courts and the lower courts and the intermediate courts, and not only that, but the Shotrim, the officers as well. Shotrim, as the Rambam describes in Hilchos Sanhedrin, are basically people who work for the Dayanim, but make sure that there's what we would call essentially today law enforcement. Yeah, law enforcement, they go out, that bailiff stands in the courtroom, they go out into the community and make sure that there's compliance. Law enforcement, yeah, oh, that's a Shotrim. Sarei Asarot is the lowest level courts, the judges on a level of tens. Okay. Now, here we get to the critical part, the critical psukim for today. Va'atzeved shofteichem bo'eis ha'hilemor. Moshe Rabbeinu says, this is the charge. Pay very careful attention. This is the charge which I gave to your shoftim. Shamoa bin achichem ushvatem tzedek. Bin ish uvin achiv uvin gero. Listen to your brethren and judge righteously between man and his brother and the ger. What's the first word that Moshe Rabbeinu tells the judges? If you want to be a good judge, what's the sine qua non? The first word that Moshe says. Steve, Hecher.
Shema.
Yeah. You want to be a good judge? The essence is Lishmoa. You don't know it all. You may have seen the case 1,000 times. Listen carefully for a new fact. Shmoa bein achechem ushvatem tzedek. Listen. Listen, listen, listen. The greatest impulse, the greatest temptation for a judge is to say, okay, I know this one, that one, I've seen it all before. Experienced judge. No. Never forget. Shmoa bein achechem ushvatem tzedek. Moshe will come back and emphasize this point. The first word which the judge, which the dayan par excellence, which Moshe Rabbeinu was, in a certain sense, the dayan yechidi, the person, even though we say ain dayan yechida yelah kadosh baruch hu, the only person who can really sin judgment alone is kadosh baruch hu. Moshe is the closest the human being ever got to that ideal, and even he says, if you want to understand the essence of dayanus, one word, shemoa, the capacity to listen and to listen in a way which allows one to be insightful and penetrating into the heart of the matter. Going a little further, lo takiru fanim bamishpat, understood simply, and this will be our topic for today, you cannot show favoritism to one party over the other. As the Pasuk says later in Parsha Shoftim, lo tatam mishpat, lo takir fanim, you cannot show favoritism to one or the other. We're going to see that Chazal have a different drasha altogether, and that's what we're going to focus on. Lo takiru fanim bamishpat, Kakaton kagadol tishmaun. Two meanings. Number one, here the case of both those who are powerful and those who are vulnerable, those who are not influential. The katan and the gadol. Chazal have another drasha, beautiful drasha, and they say this is a message to the dayanim as well. Don't only want to hear the big cases, the cases which are gadol, the Dominique Strauss-Kahn cases, the high-profile cases, the Madoff-type cases. Ka-katon ka-gadol tishman. You have to listen to the small cases as well, because a system of justice is that word exactly. It's a system. What it rests on is the fact that everybody has access to due process. Ka-katon ka-gadol tishman. Lo taguru mipnei ish. Do not be afraid of any man. That's what we discussed last year in the context of the Petira of Rav Amital Zecher Tzadik Levracha. We talked about how much he embodied this quality of Lo Taguru Mipnei Ish. Do not be afraid of any man. In other words, don't corrupt justice because you're afraid against postening against this one. This one is powerful. This one is socially connected. This one is rich. If I posten against him, what will happen to me? My children won't get into the right schools. They won't get the right shiduchim. Never, ever, never. Lo saguru mipnayish. It's an iser daraisa for a judge to corrupt justice on the basis of personal considerations. Ki hamishpat leelohim hu. Because justice doesn't belong to you. You don't determine that which is right. Mishpat leelohim hu. Justice belongs to God. The Ramban has a beautiful Tartori. The Ramban says here, mishpat leelohim hu. The only person, the only being in the world that can really judge is the Ribono Shel Olam. We don't know 100% justice. Al tadun es chavercha shetagil in komo, right? You ever really stand in somebody else's place? So when we act as judges, and we're going to see this later in the Rambam in a beautiful way, we're acting as shluchei hamakom. We're acting as shluchei hamakom. Mishpat l'Elohim hu. Mishpat fundamentally belongs to God, and a human being who's involved in the process of adjudicating justice, he acts as the shliach hamakom. And if a person distorts justice, the Ramban says it's egregious because he's moel b'shlichuso. He's corrupting the shlichus which God empowered him with. It's not only a social ill. It's not only a corruption bein adam l'chavero, but it reflects a perversion of the shlichus of the relationship between bein adam l'makom. Okay. Now v'hadavar asher yikshe mikem, and that which is too difficult for you, that which eludes even your most sagacious judges, takrivun elai, bring to me, ushmativ. And what does Moshe say he'll do? At the very least, what will I do? I will listen. Moshe Rabbeinu starts with the word Shema, and he ends with the word Shema. The implication is very clear, that the essence of Dayanus is more than anything else, is to listen. But Chazal here, takrivun elai ushmativ, Chazal saw a little bit of a chink in the armor of Moshe Rabbeinu's coat of anava. Va'ish Moshe anav mod mikol adam asher al pnei ha'adama. Nonetheless, Chazal understood here that this was a chink in the armor, perhaps, that Moshe shouldn't have said something self-referential as hadavar asher yikshe mikem takrivun elai ishmativ. It's true, Moshe would have been there to back them up, but maybe this was not in character of Moshe Rabbeinu to say something that reflected his own superiority in such a frontal way. So if you just take a look at the Rashi here, Takrivun Elai, it's seven lines from the bottom. Takrivun Elai, middle of the line. Everybody see it? In the Rashi. Al Devar Zeh Nistalik Mimenu Mishpat Binos Tzlafchad. Moshe was punished for this, and therefore when the Binos Tzlafchad came to him, he didn't know the answer. V'chein Shmuel Amar L'Shaul, we see likewise a phenomenon. And when Shmuel said to Shaul, when Shaul was being appointed the monarch, he said, Anochi Haroeh. Shaul says, where is the Roeh? I want to see the Roeh. And Shmuel says, right here, buddy. Anochi Haroeh. Came to the right place. And for that, the next time there was a Minoy Malchus, the next time Hashem asked Shmuel to appoint a judge, what happened? Shmuel made a mistake. Shmuel thought that one of the older sons of Yishai was going to be the melech, because he was very strapping, probably the best term for it. And what does Ribbono Shel Olam say to Shmuel? He says, Ki ha'adam yireh le'inayim, v'Hashem yireh le'leivav. You're looking with your eyes, I look to the heart. And I know who Ben Yishai is, David HaMelech, Achar Hatzon. He's out there in the field. You haven't seen him yet. So Shmuel, who in the first case of the Minoy Malchus acted arrogantly, spoke arrogantly, Anochi HaRoeh. The next time there is a Minoy Malchus, Hashem said, I'll show you who the Roeh is. I'm the Roeh. Ya Adam, Yira Le'inayim, you see, but you see with your eyes. Anochi Yira Le'leva, then I penetrate. So the same thing here. Moshe Rabbeinu formulated, Hadavar Asher Yikshe Mikrem Takrivun Elai Vishmativ Nistalik Mimenu Benos Lachad. I didn't know the halacha when Benos Lachad approached him the question of the land. So I wanted to ask a question. I wanted to ask a simple question. You know, why, there are many times in the Torah Moshe Rabbeinu is not entirely sure what the halacha is. When Yitro comes to him and he makes a suggestion relative to judges, Moshe says, I'm going to consult with Hashem. And then later on, when there's a Mekoshish Eitzim, Moshe Rabbeinu doesn't know what to do about the person who's chopping wood or gathering wood, whatever it means. And Moshe turns to God, and he doesn't know, Kilo Farash Maye Asalo, and Moshe has to turn to God. And later, when it comes to the people who are Tamei Lenefesh, the Pesach Sheni people, Moshe doesn't know, and Benos Lachad. Yeah, so why is it that Shavka Chazal are singling out the Benos Lachad? Just a simple question. Why is it? I mean, there are many cases where Nistalik mi Moshe Rabbeinu, and Moshe is the one to know. I'll give you an Akhabesser one. A better one is from Pinchas, right? It says there that Pinchas, you know, Chazal asked the question, well, where was Moshe? Right, where was Moshe? Why did Pinchas? And it said the Moshe, you know, Rafa Yadav, Moshe was sort of bewildered temporarily. He was disoriented. He was taken, you know, so why not that? Why wasn't, so what did Chazal have in mind here? Anybody want to suggest any answers, maybe? Take a shot at it. It's a drash of Chazal. It's a beautiful drasha, but what does Chazal really have in mind? So I'd like to, anybody want to jump in?
I mean, I guess one idea is perhaps that Moshe should have figured out that that's the baseline.
And Moshe shouldn't have figured out the halacha when it came to Yitro or the Mekoshesh or... No, I'm asking. Maybe. It could be. So Paul's saying is that is somehow a more obvious case. It's a good answer. It, logically, I don't know if I can verify it, meaning I don't know on what basis I would make that suggestion, but if it's true, then it makes a lot of sense. Just take a look at the top of page 886. I think this is the answer. Somebody, you can just take a look at the very top and you'll tell me the answer. Right, but this is, again, there are two instances of the Minoy Dayanim. There's the time of Yitro, and there's also the time of Parshas Chukas, where you have the Esfeli Shivim Ish Mizikne Yisrael, so you have two. Okay, so what's here? What does the Torah say about Benos Lachad? You might have to go one word into the Parsha.
About?
Batikravna.
Yes, the same question that we used before.
Excellent, Steve. What did Moshe say? Hadavar Asher Yikshem Mikem? Takrivu Neilai Ushmati. You come to me. Takrivu Neilai. And Chazal didn't like that. Tanochi Haroa. That's a little too self-referential. So Chazal said, you said takrivun elai Moshe Rabbeinu? I'll give you a takrivun where you don't know. Vatikravna! It's the only time in Torah where we have that vatikravna, where Moshe didn't know. That's why Chazal say, you uttered takrivun elai, I'll show you a takrivun elai that you don't know. And then, of course, the parasha concludes, take a look down at Pasuk. Pasuk Hey. Vaya crave Moshe as mishpatan lifnei Hashem. Moshe has to be makriv in front of somebody else. That's where Chazal got the drasha from. Takrivu ne'layu shmativ. You're not always going to know Moshe. The nun. It does. I think I remember from the Gemara Baba Basra a drasha that uses that to equate all of the benos tzavchad, but I don't recall clearly. I don't recall clearly. Anyway, so that's the drasha of Chazal. I think that's my shot in the drasha, at least. I think it's true. Okay.
Wow.
Very good. Yeah.
I mean, Moshe's, you know, Moshe's a rebbe in a sense, and no rebbe knows everything.
Right.
It's not such a problem with me, actually.
Right. You wouldn't have had a problem with. I wouldn't have necessarily had a problem with Moshe Rabbeinu saying Takribu Ne'elai Ushmati, because all, after all, as you pointed out, what did Moshe Rabbeinu say? He said he would listen. Ushmati. I mean, that's not. But again, if it's Moshe, Vayish Moshe Anav Mod Mikol Adam Asher Al Pnei Adam, maybe if this is part of the rubric of Chazal saying that tzaddikim are judged kichud ha'sa'ara, maybe for you and I it wouldn't be such an issue. But for somebody on Moshe Rabbeinu's level of humility, maybe this is a bit of a chink in the armor. So in any event,
but it is Torah, though. It's not anything else. It is Torah.
Oh, 100%.
There's
100%.
A certain amount of, as you said before, diet that you should have.
Right. No, 100%. Now, remember we saw the Gemara in Sotah, which talks about a shmini, chip a shmini, when we talked about the ills of Gai Van Dafei.
Another possibility.
Yeah.
Was this to suggest they went directly to Moshe instead of going through the chain of command?
It sounds that way from the story of Slach Lech.
But it says that they were all there, that
Moshe
and the
leader. Right. But as everybody points out, if Moshe didn't know, you know, was anybody else going to know? But I think that the point is that that's how, to me, is clear. That's how Chazal came up with the Benos Tzlafchad answer, is that it's Chazi Kravna.
Well, that was, you know, that's the, I mean, this may be a very important point, mm-hmm. and I think this is the way the Sanhedrin also worked, that there is a process that you go through, and the process starts, I think, when you're in Sanhedrin, with the most junior individual giving his
minatzad, right?
And the idea is that it's a little bit, if the assumption was that they went directly to Moshe, they weren't even considering that any other person might have a solution. And that was sort of in a reflect, saying that it's only Moshe. And it's negating the whole process, that you really need to go through a process of going.
And that Moshe really was, when he said Takribu Ne'elai Ushmati, that what he was really doing was undermining.
That was an essential process. The whole transition is that you're going to decentralize authority.
Right. Very good. Okay, so that, in other words, what Chazal were objecting to is that Moshe saying at the outset, "Adavar Asher Yikshem Mikem Takribu Ne'elai Ushmati," was a little bit pulling the legs out from under the process, or you know, maybe deflating the other judges a little bit. It could be. Okay, so that is the background to what we need to do. We're now going to get into the heart of this year. This is just that's a little bit of background and some comments about Moshe Rabbeinu's speech to Dayanim. Take a look now at the Mar Makomos here, source 2. Lo takimu fanim b'mishpat. We said the simple interpretation of lo takimu fanim b'mishpat is, of course, for the judges, that they're not allowed to show favoritism in judgment. Says the Sifrei, a different interpretation altogether. The Sifrei is the Medrash Halacha on Dvarim. Zeh ha-mimune lehoshiv dayanim. This is actually in Azhara, it's a law directed not at the judges themselves, but those who are in control of the judiciary, those who appoint the judges. Shema tomar, lest the person who's in charge say, ish ploni na'e o shivenu dayan. This person is charming, he's handsome, I'll appoint him a dayan. Ish ploni gibor o shivenu dayan. The person is strong, I'll make him a dayan. Ish ploni krovi. Oh, Shivenu Dayan, he's my relative. Ish Ploni Hovani Mamu, he did me a favor, he lent me money. I'll make him a Dayan. Nimtza, what will end up happening? Mizake Sachayev, those who are guilty will be exonerated. Umichayev es Hazakai, and those who are innocent will be found guilty. Lo mitnei shehu rasha, the person who's installed but is incompetent, who lacks the base of knowledge from which a judge must make decisions, will end up corrupting justice, lo mipnei shehu rasha, ela mipnei she'eno yodeya. Mal alav ki'ilu hikir fanim badin. That is as bad as a judge who is showing favoritism. In other words, the Isser Doraisa here, according to the Sifrei, is not with respect to the judge, but with respect to whom?
Who?
Exactly. To whoever in this country at the executive branch, confirmed by the legislative branch, whoever is in charge of appointing judges has an issur d'oraisa of lo sakiru fanim b'mishpat. Do not, when you install individuals into positions of judicial authority, do not show favoritism. Lo sakiru fanim b'mishpat when installing judges. This is taken very seriously. Take a look at the Gemara quoted in Sanhedrin. Amar Reish Lakish. Kol ha-mami dayan she'enu hagun. Anybody who appoints a judge in this context means who is not competent, who is not qualified. Ki'ilu noteya asherah b'Yisrael. As if he did avodah zarah. The pasuk says in Parsha Shoftim, Shoftim v'shotrim titan lecha v'samech le. And right after that pasuk we have, lo tita lecha asherah koleitz. Amar Ravashi, even further, Irmakom sheyesh tamidei chachamim, as I like to interpret the Gemara. And if one could have appointed qualified judges, people who have that body of knowledge, tamidei chachamim, people who are competent to be judges, ki'ilu nitau etel mizbeach, it's as if one planted an asherah tree next to a mizbeach of Hashem, as the pasuk says, lo tita lecha asherah koleitz etel mizbeach Hashem elokecha. There's something uniquely perverse in that situation. Siv, a beautiful drasha to end the Gemara. Lo sasun iti Elohei chesef ve'Elohei zahav. The pasuk in Yitro says, do not make with me Elohei chesef ve'Elohei zahav, gods of gold and silver. Says the Gemara, Elohei chesef ve'Elohei zahav de'lo abdi. Okay, you can't make Elohei chesef ve'Elohei zahav. You can't make gold and silver statues. Ha de'eit shari. Are you allowed to make wooden statues? What's the plain sense of the pasuk? Rather, Amar Rav Ashi, Eloha haba bishvil kesef, Eloah haba bishvil zahav. Here it doesn't mean false gods. It means the other meaning of Elohim. What's the other meaning of Elohim in Chumash? Judges.
Sorry.
Exactly, judges. Elohim with the hey, not with the kuf. So Elohim haba bish, Eloah haba bishvil kesef. This is a reference to somebody who was appointed a judge because they were wealthy. They were appointed a judge because they had gold, they had silver. That's what the pasuk means. Hashem says, Lo sasun iti Elohei chesef Elohei zahav. I don't want to have anything to do with judges who are there because of their money, who represent my mishpat. Lo sasun iti ki mishpat Elohim hu. Do not burden me with these kinds of judges. So again, if you put the Sifrei and the Gemara Sanhedrin together, you get the Rambam in the Sefer HaMitzvos in source 4. Let's take a look at it together. And this will conclude our introduction to the mitzvah. The mitzvah, again, on the body which controls the judiciary, that they have to appoint people who are competent, who first and foremost have the requisite knowledge to be a judge. And if they don't, it's an issur d'oraisa, lo sakiru fanim b'mishpat. Says the Rambam, the mitzvah ha-resh pedalad, the 284th prohibition in the Torah, is shehizhir bezdin ha-gadol o rosh galuyos, whether it was the high court or the resh galusa in Babel, whoever was in charge of appointing judges at that time, shelo lemanos dayan adam, you cannot appoint somebody she'enu chacham bechachmas haTorah. But he lacks what? Basically, competence. He doesn't have the basic knowledge required to be a dayan. Ba'avur malos acheros. And why do you appoint them? Because he has, what does malos acheros mean? His other qualities. You think he's a nice guy, as the Rambam will go on to explain. Shiulo, v'yimano oso bavuram, hinehu muzhar mizeh. This is an issur d'oraisa. Aval lo yabit bin minuyei haTorah. What should a person look at when making judicial appointments? Zulas l'charitzos ha'ish b'chachmas haTorah. He has to have, what is chachmas haTorah? Knowledge. He has to be master of knowledge. V'heyoso yodeya tzivuyeha v'azharoseha, and he knows the commands and the prohibitions of the Torah. V'hanhagaso v'chezkaso v'maisim hane'osim laza, and he acts in accordance with that as a shear in his knowledge. Namely, we're not so much focused on the realm of action per se, but the realm of action in as much as it reflects his level of competence, his level of mastery over the laws themselves. V'azhara mimanos memuneh b'avur mailos acheros, and there is a specific issur d'oraisa, most people don't know, about appointing a dayan who lacks basic competence, who amar yisparach lo sagiru fanim b'mishpat. V'lashon Sifrei, and now the Rambam will quote the Sifrei, which we read together in source 2. Because again, this is not found in the Talmud Bavli, it's only found in the Sifrei. Lo sakiru fanim b'mishpat zeh ha'memuneh lahoshiv dayanim. It's an issur which is directed at the body which controls the judiciary. Rotsa lomar shezos ha'azhara amnam hi le'ish sheyimne dayanim al Yisrael. It is relevant to the person who appoints the judges. Shehuzhar shelo limanosam bavur shemashik hikdamanu zichro. What we mentioned previously. Yibi amru, and Chazal said, Shema tomar, you might, if you're in control of appointing the judiciary, say, Ish ploni naya. He's handsome. Oshivenu dayan. Ish ploni gibor. Oshivenu dayan. Let me make him the judge. Ish ploni krovi. Oshivenu dayan. Ish ploni baal mamon. He's a macher. Let's make him the dayan. Oshivenu dayan. Ish ploni. And this is my favorite one. Yodeya becholashem. What does that mean, yodeya becholashem? He's sophisticated. He has a PhD from Yale. Exactly. He knows how to converse in all of the sophisticated language. That's why I'm going to make him a diet. That's all wonderful, to be sophisticated. It's a terrific thing, and it's a wonderful complementary asset. But what is it no replacement for? Basic competence in his field, which is to know the halachos of the Torah. Nimtza, yeah, go ahead.
I said it was so interesting that in the United States, the Supreme Court is still an appointed body, non-elected body.
Puts a lot of weight on the person who's appointing to make a...
Yeah, and that's a primary example. If you really don't allow appointments to occur by the masses, you actually have delegates who actually are involved.
Hopefully. Yeah, and hopefully it's made for the right decisions because the person has...
There's still the controversy a lot about nominating judges, not so much about the individual judge, but the selection process is going to determine the outcome.
Right, and
it's really interesting how that...
Right, and what the concern is here, the Isser D'oraisa is very, very local, very narrow, and it only applies in which case of appointing somebody who doesn't have that basic qualification, even if he has other qualities. So nimtza mezakeh sachayv mechayv es hazakai lo mipnei shu rasha el mipnei shu hu eino yodea lekach nemar lo sakiru fanim b'mishpat. Now, I want to, in the next stage this year, really get to the heart of our analysis, which is, the Chinuch and the Rambam have two very different presentations of this halacha. Let's take a look at the Sefer HaChinuch. So the Sefer HaChinuch here, you should just know, is quoting from different sections of the Rambam in Hilchos Sanhedrin. None of the writings here are original. The organization, however, is original. And the Sefer HaChinuch discusses this mitzvah, and he says, Shelo lemanus dayan adam she'enu chacham b'dinei ha-Torah. You cannot appoint somebody who is not wise, who doesn't have the body of knowledge of the Dinei HaTorah, even though he may have other qualities. Even if he has Chacham b'Chachmos Acheros, he might be a wonderful mathematician. He might be a wonderful author. He might be a wonderful physicist. But if he doesn't know the proper halachos, no matter how intelligent, sophisticated, handsome, charming, wealthy, whatever he is, that's an Isser D'oraisa. But then the Chinuch expands the scope. And he says, Dineha, subject to this mitzvah, and you won't find this in the Rambam, is kegon ma she'amru zichronam lebracha, she'kishem she'tzarech haroi li'oz dayin, li'oz yodeya dinei ha-Torah, just like he has to know dinei ha-Torah, kemo kein tzarech li'oz bal midos ve'adam kasher. He also has to be a fine person. Now the Rambam in Parak Beis of Hilchos Sanhedrin, as we're going to look at in just a minute, says, of course, a person has to have fine midos. But crucially, the Rambam never discusses that in the context of this halacha, and I think that is absolutely intentional, as I will going to explain. So the Chinuch is doing something which prima facie seems very logical. He says, if the whole mitzvah is to appoint judges who are competent, and to find the best people you can find to be judges, so then, of course, we should discuss all of the halachos that we all agree are relevant. That not only do you want to find somebody competent, but you want to find somebody who has all the fine characteristics that we should have in a judge. And the Rambam in Parak Beis of Hilchos Sanhedrin discusses all those things. You should be an anav, and should you be an oheva sabrios, and you should be somebody who's gentle. And the Sefer HaChinuch is just putting that all together and discussing it in the context of this mitzvah. And you understand why. Because if this is the mitzvah about what you should look for in terms of appointing dayanim, so maybe the Chinuch thinks it makes sense to take Rambams from different areas and put them together and discuss, and this is all a large quote from the Rambam in the Parak Beis of Hilchos Sanhedrin. But what's so interesting to me is the fact that the Rambam chose to separate these things. To give you a quick overview, Parak Aleph of Hilchos Sanhedrin is about the mitzvah to appoint judges in general. Shoftim v'shotrim tishan l'cham. And Parak Beis is about all of the wonderful midos that the Sefer Achinuch discusses here. He should be an anav, and he should be a baal midos tovos. And then the Rambam moves on to protocol issues in Parak Gimel, and he says you can't have din at night. And then, at the very end of Parak Gimel, the Rambam quotes our Isser, the Isser that we're discussing today, the Isser of not appointing a judge who doesn't have competence. Very strange. Why did the Rambam not put that in Parak Beis? Moreover, why did he separate that with issues of protocol, that you can't have Beis Din at night? Why did he separate it? And why did he interrupt it with formal, logistical matters of protocol? Especially, and the Chinuch looked at it and he just put it all together. And he said, if I were writing it, I would do it this way. When you talk about the qualities of the judges, let's talk about the issue of appointing somebody who's incompetent, and let's talk about the broader issue of trying to find the best person possible. Why did the Rambam separate them into different prakim? And why did the Rambam interrupt his discussion of all the wonderful midos that you should look for with a discussion of protocol? And, you know, you can't hold Beis Din at night, and these are the hours that the court is in session. Let's take a look now at sources 6 and 7 to appreciate what the Rambam is saying inside. Again, Perek Beis, that's where the Rambam discusses all of the fine qualities. And let's read it very carefully. Kishem she-Beis Din minukim b'tzedek. Just as Beis Din has to be people of integrity, kach tzrichim lios minukin mikol mumei haguf. They should also be, what does minukin mikol mumei haguf mean? They should be physically impressive people. They should be able to be physical manifestations of a certain pristine ideal, that physical appearances are never the ikar, but they can have their function. V'tzarech lihishtadil. And a person, if you're appointing judges, what does lihishtadil mean? You should strive. And strive is a really good interpretation, Paul, because what does it mean? You do your best. Be shtadl to find people, libdo kulachapesh, you kulan bali seva, bali koma, handsome and tall, bali mara, nivone lachash, understanding, vishayedu berob halashonos, and they should be sophisticated, kilei shalote sanhedrin shomas mipiatur gaman. So they don't have to rely on translations. And the Rambam says, Bezdin Shel Shlosha, even the lowest level court, a court of 3, forget about the higher courts of 23 or the Sanhedrin of Gadol of 71, we don't hold their feet to the fire and say these are absolute requirements. What's the critical word? We had it before. We tried. Ideally, 7 things. Chachma, Anava, Yira, Sinas Mamon, means they don't like money, Abbas Emes, Abbas Habrios, wonderful things, Bale Shem Tov, good reputations. V'cholelu hadvarim v'furashim b'torah, hareyu omer, anashim chachamim v'nevonim, so on and so forth. Then the Rambam moves on in Perek Gimel to a seemingly completely distinct topic. I just want to give you one line. Ein maschilin asadinim ba'layla. You can't have Beis Din at night. And then, at the end of Perek Gimel, the Rambam says the following two halachos, and I'm very confused. Especially in light of the fact that the Sefer Achinuch, as we read together, puts all of it together in one entry. And Sefer Achinuch was just basing himself on the Rambam, and Sefer Achinuch apparently couldn't understand why the Rambam separated out all the fine qualities of Perek Beis from the topics of Perek Gimel. Let's look at Halacha Zayin and Ches. Kol Beis Din Shel Yisrael Shehu Hagun, a Beis Din of Yisrael which is qualified, Shechina Imahem, Hashem sits in justice with them. Maybe a very important transition halacha. Lefikach tzrichin adayanin leishe be'ema yira atifa be'koved rosh. That's why the judges have to conduct themselves with gravity in the court, because what's there with them? It's a makom shchina. It's like a beit kneset. You can't do certain things in a shul. You can't sleep. You can't eat. You can't say inappropriate things. So too at a makom din. The asur lahakel rosh or lesachik or lesafer b'sicha b'teila to behave with levity b'vezdin ela b'divrei torah v'cha. And then the Rambam goes on to say, the halacha which we're studying today, the issur of appointing judges who are not qualified. Kol Sanhedrin o Melech, o Rosh Gala, anybody who's in charge of appointing a judiciary, whether it was the king in his generation, or the Reish Gelusa, or the Sanhedrin, Shemidu Lahem Yisrael, Dayan She'eno Hagun Ve'eno Facham, which as the Meporshim explain here, according to Lacha Mishnah, somebody who lacks competence, Eino Chacham Bechachma Satorah, V'ro'i Lihos Dayan, and he's not Ra'oi to be a dayan. He's not fitting to be a judge. Af al pi shehu kulo machamadin. What does kulo machamadin mean? Igor. He's a wonderful, the most evil guy you ever met in your life. You want him as your roommate. You want him as your best buddy. It's a wonderful Lashon Hara. He's the nicest guy you ever met in your life. V'yeshbo tovos acheres, his wonderful qualities. Harezeh she'emido, if you appoint such a person, Eiver belosas. It's an Isser Daraisa. Shenema lo sakiru funim ba mishpat mi piashmu avamdu, shizemidamber keneged hamumuna lahoshiv dayanin amru chachamim, shema tomar ishponi nael, shibenu da ishponi gibor, ishponi krovi, ishponi yodeh b'chol lashon, nimtzim zake zachai minchai v'zazakai, lo mipnei shu rasha, ala mipnei she'enu yodeh. And the Rambam is back to the question of what does it take to appoint a dayan? Why isn't this in paraphrase? Why is it separated by matters of protocol? What's Pshat and Rambam? Why did the Sefer HaChinuch come and put it all together and say, of course, it's all part of the same rubric. Maybe it's most important to find somebody who is competent, but also the other qualities. What's Pshat and Rambam? And I think if we understand Pshat and Rambam, we'll have a major, major yesod in life, in general. And I wanted to explain the Rambam with a basic analogy. Analogy that Steve will be familiar with, from medicine. You have a doctor, and he went to Hopkins, and he did his residency at Mass General. He really knows his field. Problem is, the guy doesn't have bedside manner at all. As Avi likes to say, some people have it, some people don't. And we all know from personal experience that you want a doctor with good bedside manner. You really, really want a doctor who's empathetic, who cares. And a doctor without bedside manner is a poor doctor. He's not a doctor that you want, but he's a doctor. He's still a doctor. He's a poor doctor. Now let's take the opposite situation. The guy has the best bedside manner in the world. He is the loveliest guy. Nobody cares more about his patients than he does. He is there early. He stays late. He asks. He talks to the family. Kulo machamadim. Problem is, he never went to medical school. Not a poor doctor. He's not a doctor at all. That's the difference between Perek Beis and Perek Gimel. Perek Beis, the Rambam is discussing all the things you should look for in a doctor. All the things you should look for in a dayan. They should be empathetic. They should be concerned with people. They should care. And when you're hiring doctors, if you're the head of a medical director of a program, you should look for doctors like that. Look for doctors who have as many of these qualities as possible. But that's not what Perek Gimel is about, and that's not what the Isser of Lo Sakiru Funim B'Mishpat is. Perek Gimel is not talking about what makes a good doctor, what makes a bad doctor. It's just what makes somebody a doctor? What makes somebody a dayan? And that's one thing and one thing only. Their body of knowledge. That is why the Rambam separated them into two different pakim, and nach besser, why the Rambam separated them with formal issues. Because why does the Rambam discuss it in the context of you can't have din at night? Because if you try to sit in din at night, I don't care how smart you are, how many degrees you have, you're not a dayan at night, because there's no chalos bezdin at night. You cannot have formally, legally a court at night. And likewise, if you don't have the knowledge, you're not formally, legally a dayan. You're just a guy posing as a guy. You're the same thing as a qualified person who tries to do din at night. You can't have a bez din at night. It simply doesn't exist. It's a stira mine uve. It's inherently a paradox. And so too the Rambam is telling us. Don't confuse Perek Beis with Perek Gimel. Perek Beis is what makes somebody a good dayan or a poor dayan. Perek Gimel is, I'm talking about what makes somebody ro'oi lihiyos dayan. What gives him the capacity to be a dayan altogether. Let's go back to the words. Kol Sanhedrin Omelech, Halacha Ches. Kol Sanhedrin Omelech HaRosh Gola Shemidu Lahem Yisrael Dayan She'enu Hagun Ve'enu Chacham Bechacham HaSatorah. What is he? He's not Hagun, he's not Chacham Bechacham HaSatorah. He's not Ro'oi Lihios Dayan. He does not have the capacity to be a dayan. It is not that he's a dayan with poor bedside manner. He is not a dayan altogether. Why is this true? What are the mechanics of this? Of course, it's intuitive on one level that a person without knowledge, he doesn't know to be a dayan. But there's something even deeper, which is, what did the Rambam say in the previous halacha? What is the sine qua non for din? What really allows human beings to participate in din? Yes, exactly. But what do we say before? Ki'an mishpat le'elohim? Go back to that Ramban. When they act as shluchei hamakom, they act as God's agents. God owns justice. Man does not make the rules. As John Roberts said in his Supreme Court hearings, I call balls and strikes. Now, you could argue, is he calling balls and strikes? The judicial activist, different people will disagree about that. But the idea is that justice belongs to God. What did the Rambam, how did the Rambam transition into this? What did he tell us? What gives something a chalos based in? What creates the best in? Halacha zayin kol best in sheyisrael shehu agun, when the people are competent and qualified, shechina imahem. God gives them the authority. God is with them. Without the hagunis, without the qualifications, Hashem isn't there, and it's a kangaroo court. I want to prove it to you based on another Rambam. Nothing spiritual. I'm not a spiritual person at all, I assure you. I'm not a mystic and I'm not a spiritual person. I'm a rationalist. And when God gives you the authority, is by studying the Torah, you maintain that authority. That's how God... This is not hocus pocus. You don't sit in the lotus position. Dayanim sit on chairs. They don't sit in the lotus position. They don't... Not that there's anything wrong with that. But what gives them the Shechina Imahem is the fact that they're hagun, namely that they know Chachma Satoru. There's nothing mystical
about
it.
That's what gives them the knowledge.
Exactly. The knowledge. Exactly. Without the knowledge of Torah, there's no Shechina there, and then there's no Matir. The Shechina being there is the Matir for them to engage in Din. It is what allows them to engage in Din. And again, it's not mystical. We don't mean that the Shechina is there, that they did some incantation and said, well, the celestial forces come and descend upon this court. They learn Torah, and that's how the Shechina is with them. What does the Rambam say? Again, my whole thesis here is that Perek Beis is a Dayan who's a poor Dayan, poor bedside matter. Perek Gimel is what creates the possibility for Din. So just like it has to be the daytime, it can't be at night. At night there's no Chalos Din. The person has to have the capacity to have Shechina Imo, namely, he has to have Torah knowledge. The Rambam has a beautiful halacha where he tells us this. Halacha tesavav in Perek Dalet. Misha'enu roi ladun mipnei she'enu yodea o mipnei she'enu hagun. Hagun, as explained by the portion here, means he's a rasha. So somebody who lacks basic competence, and as a reflection, and even if he knows, but he doesn't practice, and as we said before, that's in a certain sense a sheer in his knowledge. So he doesn't have these qualities. We're not talking about all the fine midos of Perek Beis, those you look for. But misha'enu roi, in a roi, that's the phrase that the Rambam used in Perek Gimel. Sha'aba Rosh Galus V'nasla Rishos. The Reish Galusa was corrupt and appointed him. Osha Tau Bezdin V'nasla Rishos. Ein HaRishos Mo'elas Lo Klum. It's meaningless. The appointment is not chal. And what does the Rambam compare it to in the Rambam's inimitable fashion? She'amaktish Bal Mum L'mizbeach. If you try to be maktish, if you try to give an animal kedusha, which is a Bal Mum, Ein HaKedusha Chala Alav. There is no Chalos Kedusha. You can do that today, and you can do it an hour from now, and you can do it tomorrow, and you can do it next week, and next month, and next year, and you can never turn this animal from Chulin into Kachin. You can never invest it with Kedusha because it lacks the prerequisites for Kedusha, namely it does not come in. That is what the Rambam believes about this person. Not the person who doesn't have the fine qualities. He is a Tumim. He lacks the fine qualities. You should look for a better judge. The person who lacks competence, he lacks Chachmas HaTorah, he's the Baal Mum. You cannot invest him with the status of a Dayan. He's Eino Roi. Try and sit down to do Din at night. It doesn't work. It doesn't work because there can be no Chalos Bez Din at night. Ein HaKedusha Chala Alav. That is a difference between a doctor with poor bedside manner and somebody who isn't a doctor at all. A Dayan who doesn't have all the fine qualities, as Paul said, that you strive to find in a Dayan. Mishtavil, you look for the doctor with good bedside manner. But there's a world of difference between Perek Beis and Perek Gimel, between a doctor with poor bedside manner and somebody who's not a doctor at all. The Sefer Chinuch conflated it all together. But the Rambam kept it separate, and he kept it separate to hammer home that basic point. What makes a Dayan? Only one thing makes a Dayan. Chachmas HaTorah. And then there are all kinds of gradations. And we only look to hire Dayanim who have a lot of other milos, Allah milos. But what made him a Dayan is one thing. Because what is the matir? What allows a Dayan to sit in judgment of another person? What an act of arrogance to sit in judgment of another person. Did you live his life? Were you in his shoes? Did you walk a mile? in his shoes, what an act of that. The only thing that gives us that mantra is a sense of Shekhinah Imo, that we're doing God's work. And the only thing that allows him, that enables him to do God's work, go back to that halacha Zion, Ko Besdin Yisrael Shehu Hagun. And as the Rambam defines Hagun here, She'enu Chacham Bechachmas HaTorah, as the Rambam defines Hagun, Shekhinah Imo. That is the Jewish concept of Din. Okay, I'm just going to go one step further, then we'll take Elliot's question. You know, everything that we said today is shayach mostly to Dayanim. But the Sefer HaChinuch has an important point, and I want to stress it. Especially in Shabbos Chazon. In Shabbos Chazon, the singular focus of Shabbos Chazon is the question of corruption. Corruption, dishonesty. Sefer HaChinuch says as follows, and you know, it's not just true of Dayanim, says the Chinuch, source 9. Umiklal mitzvah zo gam kem lefi hadomeh. Whoever is in charge of making communal appointments. So in other words, let's say the person is in charge of appointing the finance committee for the town or the shul, or the building committee for the town or the shul, or the education committee for the school, or the scholarship committee, or what have you. Anybody who's in charge of appointing people to positions of authority, he is bound by this self-same ethic. Namely, the ethic of looking for a person who has the basic competency for that area. It's what we call core competencies. Shiyasim kol hashgachaso v'choldaso lemanos mehen ha-re'uyin v'hatovim al oso minoy shahakal tzrichinosa. That it is his obligation. He has to put all of his effort into finding the person, and I want to use the language of the Chinuch again, lemanos mehen ha-re'uyin v'hatovim al oso minoy, to find a person who is ro'i for tov for that particular job. He is qualified for that job. He has the skills to be a treasurer. He has the skills to be the in charge of the building maintenance. He has the skills to chair the education committee or the finance committee or the endowment committee. V'lo yagur mipnei ish lemanos mi she'eino ro'i. You should never ever appoint somebody because he's popular, because he's your friend, because he's a macher, because it's a political thing. This is almost impossible to do. Look at how hard this is. But this is the mitzvah, according to the Chinuch, is that whoever is in charge of making appointments to positions of power, or positions that have authority, you have to look for the best person for the job. In the realm of Dayanus, what makes somebody the best person for the job? First and foremost, what makes them a Dayan? The knowledge. Okay? If it's a plumber, it's somebody who knows his system well. If it's a doctor, it's somebody who knows that system well. Everybody in their area. That is the mitzvah according to the Chinuch. Just to review what we saw today, we spoke a great deal about Moshe's mandates to the Dayanim, and we noted that it ended and began with one word, the word of Shema, but the essence of the judge is, of course, to listen. And then we spoke about a new mitzvah, Lo Sakiru Fanim Bamishpat, which doesn't only mean that the judges have to behave without favoritism in the court system, it also means that those who are in charge of the Dayanim, based on the Sifrei and the Gemara Sanhedrin of Zayin Amud Beis, that those who are in charge of appointing Dayanim have to do so with integrity. Do not appoint somebody that you consider to be Na'er, Gibor, or Hilvani Mamon, or Krovi, all of these other things. Kulo Machamadim, says the Rambam, but he lacks that basic quality of being a judge, which is to have knowledge. We noted that the Sefer HaChinuch puts all of the good qualities together, competence and fine attributes, and the Rambam keeps them separate. One is Perek Beis, one is Perek Gimel. Perek Beis is all the fine qualities. Perek Gimel is formal dinim, of you can't have din at night, and you can't have somebody who's not competent. And why is it there? So we explained that the yisod of the Rambam is that there's a world of difference between a doctor with poor bedside manner and somebody who's not a doctor at all. One is Perek Beis and one is Perek Gimel. Perek Gimel is devoted to when can you not have chalos din? When can you not have even a shame bezdin? It's not even a court. It's a kangaroo court. If it's nighttime, you need certain technical requirements, and if the person doesn't have knowledge. If the person doesn't have knowledge, what's going to be missing? Shechina cannot descend on that court. There's no matir to judge. And then we saw just one more halacha. We just saw that the Rambam compares that to try to be mikadesh abalmum. Try to be makdesh abalmum. It doesn't work because the prerequisites aren't there. It doesn't have the criterion that are needed for Kedusha to be Chal, and likewise, the Sefer HaChinuch, extended this to other areas of appointment. Not that the formal mitzvah applies in other areas, but the sentiment, the spirit of law certainly applies, and that when you look at a shul, and you look at the appointees there, you have to always ask the question, Is it the best person for the job, or is it some kind of a political shtick? And the Sefer HaChinuch says the political shtick falls under the rubric of this mitzvah. That is a problem of Lo Sakiru Fani B'Mishpat.